today. Whether you're joining us here or online from home, why don't you get up to your feet, put your hands together, and let's worship today.
From rivers to
comes, I'll stand strong and worship you. And if it puts me in the fire, I'll rejoice because you're there too. And I won't be formed by feelings, I'll hold fast to what is true. And if the cross brings transformation, you can't hang me there with you. Because death is just the doorway into resurrection life. And if I join you in your suffering, then I'll join you when you rise. And when you return in glory with all the angels and the saints, my heart will still be singing, my song will be the same. Oh, Christ be magnified, let his praise arise. Christ be magnified in me. Oh, Christ be magnified in the altar of my life. Christ be magnified in me. Oh, Christ be magnified, let his praise arise. Christ be magnified in me. Oh, Christ be magnified in the altar of my life. Christ be magnified in me.
Christ is my firm foundation, the rock on which I stand. Everything around me shaking, I've never been more glad. And I put my faith in Jesus, 'cause he's never let me down. He's faithful generations. So why would he fail now?
Come on, sing it out.
He won't. He won't. I still got joy in chaos. I've got peace that makes no sense. So I won't be going. never change. You never change, God. You're constant and true. You're the same, God. Oh, we praise you. Rain came and wind blew, but my house was built on you. I'm safe with you. I'm gonna make it through.
Come on, make that your declaration today.
Rain came and wind blew, but my house was built on you.
Yes, Lord.
Safe with you, I'm gonna make it.
Come on, sing it again.
Rain came, wind blew,
my house was built.
We will not be shaken. Yes.
Safe with
you, are my firm foundation.
I'm
God.
Gonna make it through.
Come on, declare it.
I'm gonna make it through.
Situation today,
he won't.
Whatever trial, whatever you're facing this morning,
he won't fail. He won't fail. He won't. Oh no, you won't. You won't. You'll never fail. You won't fail.
Shadows
is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Who could imagine so great a mercy? What heart could fathom such boundless grace? The God of ages stepped down from glory.
Thank you that we are not fighting for victory. We are fighting from victory. Every battle is already won. You alone have overcome. God, we love you and we praise you for all that you've done, for who you are. Father, again, we just invite you in this place. Won't you come and have your way in us, with us, and through us today, Father. We love you and we praise you. Hey, why don't we give him some praise today? He's worthy. Thank you, Lord. Well, hey, church, once again, we are so glad that you're here this morning, that you've decided to worship with us today. And today we're actually wrapping up our series titled Biblically Correct. And throughout these last few weeks, we've learned specifically on what God thinks about government. Now, I know for some of us, we kind of tend to get our government updates and stuff like that through different streams, different media outlets and stuff like that. But today we wanted to do something fun And so we have some news of our own. So as you take your seat, just go ahead and check out the screens.
And welcome to Northwoods News, your trusted local news source since 1990. My name is Amy Sutton. Let's take a look at the connection card on the Northwoods app, available now on your app store. If you've already downloaded it, you may proceed to fill it out. If you are unfamiliar with this digital tool, you will find details on all our local stories from this morning. Joining us from Texas now to greet our first-time viewers is former President George W. Bush. Mr. President, thank you for joining us.
Hey, America. It's important to get connectified.
Mr. President, I don't think that's a word.
It is now. So text N-E-W, the engine W, to the number on your screen.
Thank you, Mr. President. We are glad you are joining us today. And if it's your first time tuning in, you can text us at 833-550-1550. In other news, our on-campus groups are kicking off November 1st. So if you're looking to build some community and get into a small group, this is a great place to start. This semester, Pastor Josh Kiefer will teach a five-week series called What Does the Bible Say About?
Hey, you know what my favorite Bible story is? Moses, because he met one of my ancestors, the burning bush.
Good one, Mr. President. This study will explore what the Bible reveals about hope, purpose, identity, pain and suffering, and your finances. Another Northwoods exclusive event, The Healing Place, is back, focused on teaching and prayer for physical healing. We're getting a call now from Chappaqua, New York, from former President Bill Clinton, who has voiced interest in the event. Mr. President.
Well, hello. Bill is back.
Good to have you, Mr. President.
Oh, it's good to be here.
Mr. President, did you know that Jesus still heals today?
I did not know that.
Yes, and viewers, we want you to know that Jesus is alive, and he healed when he walked on the earth, and he is still healing today. So if you or someone you know has sickness, chronic illness, or any need for physical healing, join us for this powerful time of prayer. Mr. President, do you think you'll be joining us?
Let me check with Hillary. Hillary! Hillary! Yeah, I think you'll be fine.
Thank you for joining us, Mr. President. As we approach Thanksgiving season, Northwoods will be moving into a brand new series, High Praise. We were made to worship, and worship is so much more than just singing. Pastor John will be diving into the reason for, posture of, and the sound of our praise. You will not want to miss this Northwoods exclusive series. Finally, Northwoods wants to thank you for your continued giving. Here to voice his gratitude and joining us from Trump Tower, former President Donald Trump. Mr. President, glad to have you with us.
Hello, Northwoods. How's everybody doing? We doing okay? You truly have a fantastic church there. Anointed worship, terrific people, wonderful kids ministry, beautiful babies. I know all the babies.
I couldn't agree more, Mr. President. We wanted to take a moment to thank the people for their continued giving.
Your giving's making such a big difference, or as I like to say, huge, huge difference.
Absolutely. Nothing that happens at Northwoods is possible without your faithful giving. So from everyone here at Northwoods, we just want to say thank you. Well, that's all we have today from Northwoods News. Before we hand it off to Senior Pastor John Rickner, Mr. President, any final words?
I know the pastor. He's a terrific guy. I'll have to introduce you sometime. Firm handshake. Not as firm as mine, but firm. He's a huge leader. Huge.
Thank you, Mr. President. And thank you all for joining us. That's all for today. I'm Amy Sutton. Hope lives here.
Wow. All I can say is wow. Give it up. Again, Jake is really good with those impersonations. Again, we thought we'd have a little bit of fun with that. So thanks for laughing along with us on that. And you know, as we continue in our series on what we've titled Biblically Correct, looking at God's vision for government every week. We've been starting by going to the polls, and we've had some pre-service polls where we've been voting on different things. And this week, we've been voting on sports teams. And so one of the places we started with this morning, one of the teams you could vote on versus each other was Cubs versus Cards. So I want to see where we ended up as a church, Cubs versus Cards. Who won Cubs versus Cards? Wow, Chicago Cubs. All right. There was 10% of people that said, I don't cheer for a specific baseball team. 47% said the Chicago Cubs, 39% for the Cardinals. Now, the next one is hockey teams. I don't have a horse in the race here. Blackhawks versus Blues. I mean, I'm still one of those guys that when I can't remember the last time I went ice skating, but I still don't know how to stop on ice skates. You're one of those people, you just run into the wall to stop. That was me. So hockey, not really something I'm too interested in, but let's see where it is. Blackhawks versus Blues. Blackhawks, all right. Now, this next one, we are going to the polls on the Packers versus the Bears. And I like to think of it as light versus darkness. Good, evil, I could go a bunch of different ways. Let's see where we landed on this one. Packers versus Bears. No, what? Really? The Bears? I didn't even want to look at it. So here we go. The Bears received 62% of the vote. I'm demanding a recount. The Packers got 17%. Another amazing team, 14, and 7% said, I don't really care about football. Holy cow. Whew. I guess I didn't even notice this. They gave me the sheet of paper and put a big Bears logo on it. Wow. Well, there we go. I figured it'd be that way, but I didn't think it'd be that lopsided, but that's all right, okay? So, anyways, Packers, Bears, we had a little bit of fun. But before we jump in today, I want to let you know about our upcoming series, which we're going to launch next Sunday. I've titled it High Praise. You heard our news anchor, Amy Sutton, talk about it. And if you've ever wondered why we sing when we gather, like why do we start with worship? Why do I see people that, you know, lift their hands in all kinds of different, you know, places? You got like people doing the field goals good, right? You got this, you know. Why do I see this when I see people singing? You know, is it because people here are just weird, or is it because of another reason? And we're going to answer some of those types of questions, and we're going to explore the 7 different Hebrew words for praise in the Bible. There's 7 different words, and they each carry a different meaning with them. And when you understand those 7 words, it will transform the way we worship. And so with that series, I want to give you a heads up. Instead of starting each service like we normally do with worship, we're going to arrange the service a little bit different for the next 3 weeks. And we're going to start with a welcome, and we're actually going to start with some of our announcements, and then we'll get into worship. So if you walk in and maybe you're, you know, a couple minutes late, getting the kids dropped off or whatever, and you're like, what's happening? There's someone up here talking, and normally we're doing worship. Did I miss something? No, you didn't miss something. We're just doing the service a little bit. We've arranged it a little bit differently for this upcoming series, okay? So that's next week, but let's talk about today. Today we close out our series on biblically correct. So far, we've talked about how Christians are called to influence government for good. We've talked about the purpose of government, God's purpose for government. And then last week, we talked about how a biblical worldview has implications for almost every issue we face as a nation. And as a takeaway from every message, I've said this every week, we've talked about our obligation to pray, vote, and engage. Pray, vote, and engage. So pray. We're called to pray for our nation and our governing officials. Vote. We have an obligation to vote. And as Christians, we should vote for people who hold closest to biblical values, are most aligned with biblical values. And you know that the elections are coming up on November 8th. And again, I want to encourage you, make sure you do your homework. Go and research the candidates that are going to be on the ballot. Research and do your homework and say, do these people align with what the Bible teaches? So that's coming up. And then here, so pray, vote. And then number three, we've talked about every week, is engage. And we've said each of us should consider whether God is calling us to do more in the political realm, whether it be, you know, running for school board, county board, city council, whatever it may be. But today, I want to talk more in depth about that engage piece. We talked about pray, vote, engage. I want to talk more in depth about the engage piece. As I was preparing this week, I had originally, at the beginning of this series, planned a message for this week, but as I was preparing, I felt led in a little bit different direction than I had originally planned, more around the idea of how we as Christians should engage in the public square, whether it be as a government official, a political advocate, or just as simply as a citizen. You see, the reality is that as we work to influence our government, our nation, for good, we are going to receive pushback. You know, culture would have us believe that if we want to be a good citizen, that we should keep our old school antiquated Christian beliefs to ourselves. And if you dare to stand for things like, you know, traditional biblical marriage or God's creation of two genders, you might end up being shamed. You might be vilified for that, for your beliefs. And as this has been happening, I have noticed that when Christians receive blowback, most of us tend to go to one of two extremes. I was meeting with a friend just this week who gave me the words for these two extremes when he said, Christians tend to either be silent or mean. Silent or mean. So on one end of the spectrum, some of us just go silent. Dr. Michael Brown, in his book, The Silencing of the Lambs, touched on the logic of why many go silent. He said, because fear tells us, why hurt myself and make things difficult for my loved ones just because I have strong convictions? Better to censor myself privately than to have the culture silence me publicly. In fact, according to a recent Cato poll, it says nearly two-thirds, 62% of Americans say the political climate these days prevents them from saying things they believe because others might find them offensive. I want you to let that sink in. Almost two-thirds of people stay silent because they fear what might happen if they express a differing opinion. So some go silent. But on the other extreme, some get mean. Now listen, I think on if you stand for biblical convictions, people will think that you're mean. But there's a difference between that and being mean and nasty in your attitude towards people. That's what I'm talking about. This extreme could be captured in the words of an influential pastor with a large internet following who back in May was talking about the January 6th riot at the White House. And he had this to say to all those who would oppose him. He said, let me tell you something. You ain't seen an insurrection yet. You keep on pushing our buttons, you low-down, sorry compromisers, you God-hating communists. You'll find out what an insurrection is because we ain't playing your garbage and we ain't playing your mess. That's not helpful. So on one end of the spectrum, some go silent. On the other end, some of us can tend to get a little bit mean and nasty. I can tend a little bit over here sometimes if I'm not careful. But God doesn't call us to be silent. He doesn't call us to be passive. And he also doesn't call us to be mean and aggressive with people. So where is the middle ground? This is the question I've been asking. Like, where is the middle ground as we engage? If I'm not called to be silent, if I'm not called to be mean, where's the middle ground? What does that look like? If I could name it, It would be this: convictional kindness. Convictional kindness. And this is a phrase I'm borrowing from a man named Dr. Russell Moore. He's used this phrase. I want you to think about what convictional kindness is. What is it? Well, it's convictional in that it's rooted in the truth and authority of God's word. We're not divorcing ourselves from the truth of God's word. So it's convictional in that it's rooted in the truth and authority of God's word. It's kind in that it seeks to have conversations to understand and persuade those who might oppose us. That's convictional kindness. So how do we do this? How do we live with convictional kindness and not go to the other two extremes? Well, to answer that, we're going to look to God's word. And you know, the Bible has a lot to teach us about engaging the world we live in. In fact, although it's alarming to see how much our culture has shifted, just even in the last decade, the reality is that what we're experiencing today pales in comparison to the suffering, persecution, and marginalization of believers in the Bible. I mean, many lived under pagan rulers who wanted to stamp out Christianity. But we look in the Bible and we found that there's many who chose to still engage with the world around them. And so this morning we're going to turn to 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 13 through 16. If you have your Bible, you can go there. Now, before we get there, let me give you some context. 1 Peter was a letter written by the Apostle Peter to Christians who had been scattered over a broad area, and one scholar had this to say about the recipients of Peter's letter. He said the basic problem they were facing was to live for God in the midst of a society ignorant of the true God. Because they are Christians, they are misunderstood and subjected to cruel treatment. So Peter writes to encourage them and show them how to live for Christ in the midst of this godless atmosphere. So I want you to notice, the Bible is so relevant to our lives, what's happening today. And what we are experiencing here is nothing new. Believers in every era had to learn how to engage the world around them in a Christ-like way, namely with what we're going to call convictional kindness. So again, how do we live out convictional kindness? Let's look at what Peter has to say. He said, "Who's going to harm you if you're eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you're blessed. Do not fear their threats. Do not be frightened. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander." So he starts by reminding us of the reality of hostility. But Peter then shares what it will require of us to live with convictional kindness. And we see three requirements in this passage. Here's requirement number one: be strong. If you're going to live with convictional kindness, it will require that you be strong. Look at what Peter says again. He says, "Do not fear their threats. Do not be frightened. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord." So he starts off by addressing fear. Fear. Do not fear their threats. Why is he saying this? I think because he knows the fear of what may happen if you engage is normal. If you think about Peter, on the night Jesus was betrayed, Peter was afraid to be straight with a middle school girl that he was a follower of Jesus for fear of what might happen if it came out that he was a follower of Jesus. So he's dealt with fear. That's why he addresses it here, because he knows from experience that it's a reality for all of us. You know, we have questions like, will I lose my job if I speak out about my convictions? Will my friends turn their back on me? Will I be shamed and will I be canceled? In an increasingly hostile culture, it's normal to feel some level of fear over what might happen. And then he says, do not be frightened. And the word frightened there implies emotional turmoil and anxiety. So he says, don't live in fear. Don't churn in emotional turmoil. We might ask, well, how in the world am I supposed to do that? Well, he goes on to say, in your heart, revere Christ as Lord. I love how this even rhymes. Instead of fear, I want you to revere. In a way, he's redirecting our focus. You know, if you're a parent of small children, you do this all the time, right? I have my two-year-old comes to me crying, you know, fell down, scraped his knee, and he always goes, knee, 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 just screaming, crying. And I say, oh man, I'm so sorry. I hate when that happens. Hey, do you want to go play in the sandbox? Do you want a fruit cup? Yes, right? And it completely redirects his focus and energy somewhere else. This is similar to what Peter's doing. He's redirecting, saying if you're focused on what might happen if you stand for the Lord, you will go silent. But we don't spend time fearing what might happen. We revere Christ as the Lord. He's the one who controls what will happen. What's it mean to revere? Well, look at a couple different translations of this verse. In the NLT, it says, instead, you must worship Christ as the Lord of your life. In the ESV, it says, but in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy. In the Amplified version, it says, but in your hearts, set Christ apart as holy, acknowledging him, giving him first place in your lives as Lord. This is what it means to revere. I mean, I'm going to worship God. I'm going to honor him. I'm going to set him apart. I'm going to give him first place. So again, in this passage, fearing looks like focusing on what might happen. Revering looks like focusing on God who controls what will happen. So it's a redirection of your focus and energy, resting your heart in God's sovereignty and living out of a deep-seated confidence that he's got this, that he's reigning as the Lord of lords and King of kings. He's on the throne. He's sovereign over it all. Psalm 22:28 says, for dominion belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. Psalm 103:19, the Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. So Peter says, don't fear. Revere Christ as Lord. When you do that, you will find that there's a strength that comes to your life because you realize I'm in God's hands. And like the Bible says, what can mortal man really do to me? I'm going to revere Christ as Lord. So we want to live with convictional kindness. It requires that we be strong. But then here's requirement number two. It also requires that we be prepared. Look what Peter goes on to say. He says, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. Always be prepared to give an answer. You know, our English word apologetics comes from the Greek word translated answer, which means a defense presented in court. So apologetics deals with the defense of the faith. And while there certainly are people who are very skilled apologists, Peter is saying on some level, we should all be able to defend our faith. We should know what we believe, why we believe it. And side note here, you heard it in the announcement, starting this Tuesday, we're gonna be launching a 5-week on-campus group study titled, What Does the Bible Say About? And we're gonna dive into topics like identity, purpose. Why do bad things happen? This is a question a lot of people have. Why do bad things happen? How to find hope? How to handle finances? And this short study can help better prepare you to answer the questions that people are asking. And if that interests you, you can sign up at northwoods.church/small groups. But here's what I want you to recognize. Our stance is never one of passivity and silence. We are always prepared to engage. Now, that doesn't mean we go looking for a fight, but it means we're always prepared to engage because we know that at any moment, at any time, a moment could present itself. You know, when I think of being prepared, it reminds me of the story of one of our security officers here at Northwoods. I've told you his story before. He shared with me that it's okay for me to share this. He emailed me and shared a while back. He said, I decided I needed to be prepared to lead people to Christ if the moment were ever to present itself. And so I added every salvation and gospel verse I might need to my notes page on my phone. I want to be prepared. Soon after doing this, the moment presented itself, and I led my mother to Christ while sitting with her at a car repair shop in Peoria. Although she's been a religious person for over 60 years, she still had no assurance that she would go to heaven whenever she were to pass. And so I asked her if she wanted to be sure about it right there at that moment. She said, yes, I led her through a prayer, and then we had a good cry. That's called being prepared. Being prepared. Being prepared with the word and then following the leading of the Holy Spirit. If you're going to be prepared, it means that you get in God's word, but it also means that you're yielded to the Holy Spirit because he's the one who's going to help you bring about the right attitude and the right words in every moment. So again, we do this because we know that at any moment, on the street, in our homes, at the car repair shop, in the grocery store, at the coffee shop, a moment could present itself. And so we must be prepared. But I want you to recognize the other words he says here. He says, be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. I want to focus on that word hope. For the hope that you have. Notice he didn't say, be prepared to tell people why the world is going to hell in a handbasket. He didn't say, be prepared to tell people why our society is just terrible. He didn't say, be prepared to tell everybody why they're so wrong. Nope, he said to give the reason for the hope that you have. And again, this keeps us from going too far and being mean and nasty. How do you give a reason for the hope that you have? I think it just starts with sharing our story. I love how Alvin Reed said it in his book, Sharing Jesus Without Freaking Out. He said, talk to the actual person in front of you about the Jesus inside you. Let them see and hear the change Jesus makes in you. In other words, you know what? Being prepared doesn't mean you have to have every answer to every question. It can just mean, you know what? I'm prepared to share what Jesus has done in my life. Personal stories carry tremendous weight, especially in the younger generation. That's a great starting place. Talk about the change that Jesus has brought to your life. Now, again, I want you to hear me. It's not wrong to call out sin when we see it. We should raise our voice on those things. But if our voice and our answers are devoid of our hope in Christ, we're missing it. Our message is a positive one. The gospel is called the good news. If all people hear from us is bad news, I think we're missing it. Something ain't right. The gospel is good news. So for example, let's just take one issue. We've talked about this. This is an issue that's on the forefront of our society right now. Let's talk about the transgender issue. As Christians, our heart's desire is to see people set free from the inner turmoil and pain they feel. Our desire for them is to find resolution to their inner torment. But instead of saying, all you transgender people are a bunch of wayward sinners because pushing this agenda, you're woke, you're crazy. We can say, you know what? As followers of Christ, I believe that freedom and joy come not through gender reassignment surgery, taking drugs that alter our hormones, but in coming to Jesus, in allowing him to touch and heal the pain that you may feel. And then you can even share how Jesus touched and healed pain in your life. That's talking about the hope that you have. You know what? I've experienced pain and inner turmoil. I've experienced confusion. But let me tell you what Jesus did for me. And I believe if he can do it for me, he can do it for you. That's hopeful. This is our hope. Not only are better days ahead, but better can start right now because of Jesus. So if we're going to engage with convictional kindness, it requires that we be strong, be prepared. And then here's requirement number three, be gentle. Be gentle. In other words, truth matters, but so does our tone. Look what Peter goes on to say. He said, but do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. Again, notice he didn't say do this with arrogance, an atmosphere of knowing it all. Do this with gentleness and respect. Don't you understand? Gentleness is not weakness. I'm not talking about being a doormat. It's simply the idea of power under control. You know, many times we think we're out here to win an argument. We're not out here to win arguments. We're here to win souls, win people, which means the tone and the spirit in which we deliver truth matters. In fact, the great love chapter of the Bible, 1 Corinthians 13, I want you to take note of what Paul says. He says, if I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. Now, in context, Paul is teaching about how all spiritual gifts are to be exercised in love. And when we don't, we're just a clanging cymbal. Now, while he's talking about spiritual gifts, we can take this further in application and say that everything we do is to be done in a spirit of Christ-like love for others. The Bible talks about this elsewhere. Speaking the truth in love. Paul says when we don't do this in a spirit of love, we're like a clanging cymbal. So I want to kind of bring this to life for you today. I had a couple on our team get me some marching band crash cymbals. These things are awesome. I had a lot of fun with these on Friday. I went to, it wasn't too fun for everybody else. But when I first got these, I walked up to our office and people were sitting there, weren't paying attention. And I just came in and just went, boom! I can still see people jumping. I should be a little bit more professional. But I owe them apologies this coming week. But Paul says that when we deliver truth and it's devoid of love, we're just a clanging cymbal. So I want you to think about it like this. We could say, if I staunchly defend the Bible and obliterate all arguments against it, but do it without love, if I can quote every verse on a particular topic and can tell you everything the Bible says about it, but do it without love, if I call out the sin that's an affront to God in our society, but I do it without love, we're called to deliver the truth in a spirit of love. And when we go out and engage and we deliver truth, but it's devoid of love, this is all people hear. It's just loud, obnoxious noise, and it doesn't help anybody. Yes, we should never divorce ourselves from the truth, but we should never deliver that truth without a spirit of love. Now, I'll stop clanging these because I know it's like wearing some of you guys, wearing me out. Holy cow. But you get the picture. We're not silent, but we're also not mean and nasty. That's why Peter said, do this with gentleness and respect. And this ties right in with what the Apostle Paul told Timothy. Look at what he said. He said, gently instruct those who oppose the truth. Perhaps God will change those people's hearts. Sometimes we think if I just raise the volume a little bit, get a little bit more anger, I'll change their heart. No, God's the one who changes people's hearts. And it says, God will change those people's hearts and they will learn the truth. Perhaps God will change those people's hearts and they will learn the truth. We got to get this right again. It's not me who's trying to change people's hearts. I'm a mouthpiece. I'm going to deliver the truth. I'm going to pray. But at the end of the day, it's God who ultimately changes people's hearts. So we gently instruct those who oppose the truth. Truth matters. You know, Jesus had strong words for people at times, but he never did it without it, devoid of a spirit of love for people. Truth matters, but so does the tone and the spirit in which it is delivered. So if we're going to live with convictional kindness, it requires that we be strong, we be prepared, and we be gentle. Strong, prepared, gentle. That's what it looks like to be convictionally kind as we engage. So as we close, I want you to stand. And we're going to pray together. And I want you to just take a moment right now, just you and the Holy Spirit. Just in a moment of reflection with the Holy Spirit, I just want you to ask him, Holy Spirit, do I tend towards being silent, or have I tended towards being mean and nasty? Holy Spirit, I pray you'd speak to us right now. If he brings anything to mind, just submit that to him. As we're praying, I want to just, if you feel comfortable, just put your hand on your heart right now. This comes down to a heart issue. And you just tell the Lord, Lord, I just pray right now. You can pray with me. Lord, if there's fear in our heart today, I pray that you would touch that, Holy Spirit. I pray you would remove fear. I thank you that you have not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power and love and a sound mind. I pray that strength would rise up in your people, Lord. But Lord, I also pray if we've gone to the other extreme of being mean and nasty, Holy Spirit, I pray you would soften our hearts towards people. If there's places where we've picked up an offense, an anger, Holy Spirit, by your fire, I pray that you would soften our hearts this morning and remind us that we're not trying to win arguments, where it's about people. Oh, Holy Spirit, help us. I pray that you would release fresh fruit in our lives this morning. You said the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Holy Spirit, help us to engage with truth, but also with love and with gentleness. pray you'd equip your people for every good work today, Lord, to engage, to be salt and light wherever we go. And again, we lift this nation to you, Lord. And we pray that you would use us for good as we engage in the way that you would have us to do that, Lord. And so, Lord, I pray blessing over every single one of your people this morning. And it's in the mighty and matchless name of Jesus. Everyone said, amen, amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Guys, it's so good to be with you today. I'm so glad you're here. Again, if you need prayer for anything, we always have a prayer team down here front of stage. I would love to pray with you. If you're online, would like prayer, we have a prayer team there as well. And we will hope to see you back next week. Have a great Sunday.
Well, thanks, John. We are now wrapped with Biblically Correct. It's been an amazing series. Remember to pray, vote, and engage in what's going on in our country right now. And don't forget, earlier in the service, we talked about Operation Christmas Child. If you need any info on that or want to get involved, just go to the link on your screen. And starting next week, we have a series called High Praise, getting behind the heart of why we worship. We'll see you then.